What is the mindset of our millennials during this COVID-19? How are they being tested, and what can we learn from them? Hello, everyone. It's Kim Crable. Today on Coffee, by popular request, you will hear the encore presentation of two of my millennial friends, actress and singer Brianna Mooney and New York businesswoman Allie Wash. No wonder we want to hear from them again. These ladies are filled with wisdom that we can take and use, and a faith that will inspire all of us. Speaking of wisdom, please mark your calendars for our special three-part event, Pandemic, July 7th, 8th, and 9th at 7 o'clock p.m. All of the Up to Me radio hosts are coming together to talk about how our world is changing and how we are to be responsible in our response. So join us July 7th, 8th, and 9th at 7 o'clock p.m. for the one-time special, Pandemic. Now, let's move on into our show as we welcome Brianna and Allie.
You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's Up to Me.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I invite you to journey with me to a new day. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. So join thousands of women and men from around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment. Well, it's no doubt this coronavirus is affecting every generation. And today on Coffee, we are asking, how is this COVID-19 and this quarantine time specifically affecting our millennials? You know, those born between 1981 to around 1996, ages about 23 to 38. You know, they are the largest living adult generation in the United States. So what they have to say and what they're feeling is very important, and we should take note and to listen to that. These are the people who are moving into leadership positions in business and politics and culture, families, every form of leadership. Our millennials are going to be taking the lead. What are they thinking? What has this done to them? How are they coming through this? Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Coffee. I'm so glad you're here. My name is Kim Crable. I'm always your host, and today we have a very important show. So scoot in, get your pen and pencil. Even if you'd like to call in and ask a question, we'd love to have you. My name is Kim Crable, and I'm so glad you're here. We have two incredible speakers, guests today, two millennials, actress and singer Brianna Mooney, and also New York businesswoman, former New York, I believe we'll find out, businesswoman Allie Wash, who have agreed to share with us their mindset and the millennial mindset as they recognize it. So, good morning, ladies, and welcome to Coffee.
Good morning.
We're excited to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. This is such a treat for me. Not only are you incredible in your world and brilliant and beautiful and bold and courageous, you're also just two incredible friends of mine who I have watched and I admire and just love what you stand for and what you're striving toward. And so what a delight for me to have you on the show today. So let's start. Brianna, why don't we start with you and you introduce yourself, tell your new friends at Coffee here a little bit about yourself, and then Allie, we'll move into you. And let me just tell you, since we're doing three people, as you speak, if you'll just always start out with your name, then people can be able to distinguish between the two of you. So let's go, Brianna. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself.
Hello, beautiful people. My name is Brianna. I am currently at home in Baltimore, quarantined, but I am I'm living in New York City at the moment, and I am a performer, there, and I work based out of New York. So, yeah, that's a little bit about me. I have two brothers and a beautiful mom and dad, and that's a little bit about me.
So when you say you're a performer, tell us what does that mean?
So I mostly do a lot of theater work. I recently just got off doing Jersey Boys. Right before the pandemic got serious, I recently just actually got off a cruise ship doing Jersey Boys. So I'm very thankful to be off the ship right before this happened. But yeah, I've been doing shows across the world, and for the past 2 years since I graduated college in 2017.
Great. Well, it's a delight to have you here. I actually was able to go see one of your shows when you were in, I think, Mamma Mia in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's amazing.
That was a delight.
That was so fun.
It was fun. Silly me didn't realize I could get back to see you afterwards the show. So I just left thinking, oh, I wish I could have gotten a hug. And there all along I could have. So, oh, well, live and learn, right? Well, Brianna, thank you so much for being with us. And Allie, my dear friend Allie, tell
yes.
us a little bit about what you do.
Yes, good morning, everyone. My name is Allie. So I've actually been living in New York City for 6.5 years. It's funny, I graduated college with a biology degree, started my career in New York in fashion, then went to sales, and then went to real estate. And it took me about 6 years of living there to finally land my dream job last August. So I'm working in the luxury hospitality building or luxury hospitality industry in a new development in New York City. So I landed my dream job then. And then, yeah, I've been quarantined in New York City for a little over 50 days. And I was finally able to come home to Baltimore last week to be reunited with my parents, my older brother. So that was very overwhelming with lots of emotions. So I'm just so happy to be home, be able to look out the window and see a bunch of green trees in that building. So it feels good to be here.
Well, you know, it means so much to both of you, and I just jump right in because being with your families, you were away for so long. And, you know, when I invited you onto the show, I'd forgotten that both of you had actually had the virus. So let's talk about that a little bit. What, you know, when you first heard about this virus, I have two boys that would be considered millennials too. And they both were like, and one is graduating from medical school, and they both, you know, it was just like, Mom, you know, it's really no big deal. And quite honestly, I kind of felt that too, because you know how the media likes to over-dramatize things. And I didn't really even get the seriousness of it. So when you all first heard about it, what were your first thoughts about this? About the coronavirus?
So this is Allie speaking. So, you know, being in New York City, and I know I mentioned this the other day, so in the building that I work in, a lot of my clients were actually from Wuhan, China. So I saw how they were feeling emotionally and mentally because their families are being affected by it drastically. So 80% of my job is events. So I've had a ton of cancellations for my clients who are over from China because they just didn't feel right. You know, throwing events when they were hurting so bad when their parents and their family and loved ones were in quarantine over there. But from a New York City perspective, it's funny because, you know, we kind of, I'm not going to say laughed about it, but we definitely didn't take it serious. I mean, when people or clients would like cough in front of us, we would kind of all like laugh. And then when they would walk or we would stare at each other when they walk away, we kind of be like, oh, like Corona. And then even like one of my clients was, you know, owned his own, urgent care facilities, and he wasn't making it a big deal. So my first take on it, like I felt so bad for my clients as they were experiencing it, but I never knew how bad it would have been and how quickly
it, was like
it came to the States.
Right. You're probably kind of thinking that's the China thing. And yeah. So what about you, Bree?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I definitely didn't take it seriously at all. I remember when I was on the subway, my dad would call me and like constantly remind me to
have hand sanitizer with me and constantly tell me, wash your hands, like, this is getting serious. And I was like, whatever, Dad, all right. And I just kind of kept thinking to myself, like, could this really ever happen to us, to our country? You know what I mean? Like, I never really thought it could happen to us, and I never thought this really could happen, you know? So I definitely didn't take it seriously at all. But the more the cases went up, the more I was like, oh, this is starting to actually affect us and affect our business and affect our lives, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, and Brianna, I don't know about you, but my mom was, when I wasn't taking it seriously, my mom was sending me like 5 to 6 huge Amazon boxes of food in like early February and like water and Pedialyte and medicine. I was like, Mom, this is so not necessary. My roommate and I were like kind of laughing about it, but like looking back, like I'm so happy. So I didn't know if your mom was reacting the same way as my mom, because she was taking it seriously. And I was just like, I mean, I was still taking public transportation every day.
Every day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, your moms are so much alike. I can see why they would be doing that. But, you know, here's the thing, you know, as in your age group, I mean, you all are like change makers, you know, you're not happy with the status quo. You see things, you kind of sniff things out. And that's what's so amazing is that, and I think don't you think it's probably because you all, your generation has already been through so much and you've seen so much drama. I mean, do you initially look at things and go, oh my God, those older people are just totally blowing this out of the water? I mean, do you ever see us? Now that I know that I'm an older person, let me tell you, let me just tell you a secret. I never knew that I was considered older until this thing came out and they kept saying on the news, yes, all you older people, 60 or over. And I was like, wait a minute. It was like, now they switched it to 65, so I'm under that a little bit. But did you all listen to the news though, and did you just kind of think it was just like it was being over dramatized?
Oh, definitely.
Go ahead, Brianna.
I saw that when I was watching the news, and they were, because everybody was comparing it to the flu. So in my eyes, I was like, oh, like I can get the flu. It'll be fine. Like I'll get over it. And looking at our age group, it was a very, very low percentage of having these types of symptoms, and having the severity of the virus was very, very low stakes. So I think when I was watching the news, I was just thinking to myself, oh, I'll be fine, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when did you start realizing that you weren't going to be so fine? When did all this start to dawn on you? Was it the numbers, the cases going on around you? Is when you started feeling ill? When did you start to take notice, oh, my gosh, this is bigger than what I thought?
Yeah, so this is Allie speaking. So I got corona pretty early on. I started my maybe March, like, 11th. So when I first was kind of like, oh, wow, this is a bigger deal than what I thought. I went to Denver, Colorado the weekend of the 15th, not knowing. And the symptom that I had prior to going to Denver wasn't a known symptom yet. And so me and my, like, best girlfriend who's staying with me for a week, we were like, they're so encouraging people to travel and everything. And then, of course, like 24 hours after landing in Denver, that's when kind of the shift in thought kind of happened, you know, with Governor Cuomo and things were talking about how, like, they're going to start banning travel and, you know, the social distancing. And then when I got back that Monday, you know, my best friend and I start getting symptoms, like serious symptoms together. Like my first symptom was like a really bad headache, and then really bad body aches and chest tightness and difficult breathing and lost my sense of taste and smell. And I think when I first saw it becoming serious was when I got a call from the local health department in Denver, because my friend who was a pre-cancer survivor, she was able to get
access to testing. And in New York, Brianna, I don't know about you, but like I could not, like there's just no way I could have gotten access.
Right.
I tried and I couldn't get tested. So when I got,
mm-hmm.
so when she came back positive, you know, the local health department had to call me and find out who I've been, you know, around and kind of, but they were telling me at the time to only isolate myself for 7 days versus 14 days. So I think when I got that call, I was kind of like, okay, this is serious. Like not only old people are getting it, like I was not mm-hmm. feeling well, like at all. So I think that's kind of when I was like, oh,
mm-hmm.
this is serious.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What about you, Brie?
So I was exposed and I didn't know I was exposed, but my friend actually from Australia came over to New York, and he was visiting for about 2 weeks, and I remember seeing a show with him on Wednesday, and then he messaged me on Saturday saying that he had a really bad cough, and he had these body aches, and he started getting like fever and chills. So I kind of took that as, okay, he may have it, he might just have a virus, because he is jet lagged and he hasn't been sleeping and he's been like up and about like every day, not getting enough sleep and not taking care of himself, you know, with nutrition either.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he wasn't able to get a test. And so I was kind of just left in the unknown, and I let about like same as Allie, like 7 or 8 days pass, where I was just like, okay, I'm going to like ride this out. If I don't get any symptoms, then I think I am okay. Maybe I didn't get it. But that ended up being the case. I ended up not really getting these types of symptoms. I ended up coming home. And then a few days later after I came home, I got this body ache and mm-hmm. bad migraine. But I never had a fever or chills or anything like that. But then my mom ended up getting really, really sick.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely can have these mild symptoms or be asymptomatic and not realize that you're carrying the virus. And so that's what happened in my situation.
So that's the physical of what's going on physically. Now let's take this into the psyche. Let's go into the mind. What were you starting to think on the inside? What was this creating inside you? How was your emotions being affected? What was going on the inside?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question. This is Allie speaking. I would have to say I'm going to kind of do so pre-corona versus having corona. So before I got, you know, sick with the virus, like my mindset, like obviously living in New York, Brianna, you know, like always a go mentality. I was on a high with my
mm-hmm.
career, my social life and the level of opportunities I was being exposed to with my new job. I was just so excited and happy. So that was my mindset. But, you know, being quarantined in a small apartment for 50 days, I'm going to say it was hard mentally. I mean, I can't
mm-hmm.
say like every day I felt exactly the same. Like we're human. We have ups and downs. And I kind of learned, like, I'm Virgo, so I love my list. I love, you know, crossing things off. And, you know, I was seeing people online, you know, on Instagram doing, like, workouts twice a day. And that would stress me out because I was so sick. And I knew I just had to, you know, listen to my body and
mm-hmm.
kind of needed to get away from the noise and need to know exactly what my body and mind needed at that exact time to heal. So I got into a lot of meditation during my time of being sick, and kind of how it happened was the first week, like the first 7 to 8 days, you know, I had the low grade fever and then I was sick and body aches and et cetera. And then I had a week of 7 days where I was feeling really good. I was like, wow, I think my symptoms are gone. And then a week after that, my second wave came. And, you know, Kim, I know we spoke about this a little bit the other day about, you know, being vulnerable. And this was my time mindset. Like, I'm not a vulnerable person. It takes a lot for me to, you know, tell people how I'm truly feeling. And I just have to say,
mm-hmm.
like, being able to have, one, my roommate, I couldn't have done it without her, but having an outlet of friends to talk to and kind of escape to and let them know exactly how I'm feeling, that got me through every day. Like, I would cry to my roommate some days and laugh some days, but, you know, she would sleep on the couch, like, with, like, while I had my door open sleeping, just to keep checking on me. So I feel like my second wave of symptoms I got was really challenging mentally because I was scared. People didn't know the turn that the virus was going to take on people. You know, we were getting a lot of misinformation and, you know, doctors were learning with us every single day. So no one really knew. So I think that was really challenging mentally and it was exhausting. But I think the biggest thing was we aren't alone. Like, everyone is in this together. And that's what I keep kept telling myself. Like, yes, I was furloughed from my dream job, but for some reason I didn't freak out or I wasn't anxious about it because I told myself so many people are in the same boat as me. And, like, I just kept telling, like, a sense of calm almost came over me and just kept telling myself, like, we're all in this together, regardless of how dark the times were and are.
I like the fact, though, that one of the things that I think is very important, one of the things that I always want to do is not just make our listeners feel like, you know, okay, you can just, you know, will yourself to be okay today. I feel like that it's okay to hit the bottom. I feel like it's okay to face great fear. And I love that you said, I had to be vulnerable to get through this. I believe there are a lot of listeners that will listen, that are listening to this now or who will listen to this later that need to hear that message right there, is that, you know, some things are just bigger than what we can handle on our own. That's what God tells us. He created us to love him and love those around us. And one of the greatest ways that we can love other people is to allow them into our vulnerabilities where we're hurting so that we can truly create friendships. So I love that you all are vulnerable about your fears and what you went through, because, you know, when you're going through something, you know, both of you all are on the other end now. So you're going, okay, well, I got through it. Well, there are people who are in the middle of it that are not, they don't know how it's going to end. So let's talk about that. Some of the fears, some of the worries, let's go into their mindset right now and help them with a few steps of what they can do today, not knowing, you know, what is going on within their own bodies.
Yeah, and this is Allie, and I think, like I said, I definitely don't want to underplay, like, the impact of this virus, like, whatsoever, but I do want Brianna and I, you know, to be, like, a source of hope for everyone. Like, if you're feeling sick, anxious, or scared, which I felt those things every single day and I'm still feeling them, like, you're not alone whatsoever. Listen to your body, meditate. I got really into meditation and journaling. I never used to journal. That really helps with also my anxiety levels. Like, again, like, you're in the unknown. So I would find moments of just things that, I would listen to my body, but I would find moments of just, you know, it's kind of a joke with my roommate and I, like, we obviously weren't able to go outside, but we had an unfinished roof. So, like, my happiness of the day would go up and walk in 30 circles on the roof. So I just kind of recommend to stay calm, you know, rest, like, don't get fully consumed by the media. During my whole time of being sick, I did not watch the news or media at all because I knew that was just going to not make it so much better for me, and to really find an outlet or some sort of virtual connection to get support through this. FaceTime with friends,
Absolutely. There's a scripture, and then Brianna, once you jump in here, there's a scripture you keep talking about meditating, and that, you know, for our listeners, that is a biblical principle. Psalm 77:12 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, because that is He is my strength and my redeemer." Psalm 77:12 says, "I will meditate also on your word and the talks of what God is doing." So I think, you know, just sitting alone and building yourself up. I think it was Daniel. I have to look at it. It says, "When I when I need to, I will strengthen myself. You know, we can strengthen ourselves just going back and meditating on God's word and the good things that are going on around us and shutting out that bad to strengthen ourselves. Sorry, Bree, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to get that scripture in.
No, oh my gosh, that's so true and valid. And I think especially I think because I really wasn't that sick, but seeing my mom so sick, it really truly opened my eyes and changed my perspective. Because, I mean, growing up when I was sick, my mom always took care of me, and I was always the one that was just on the couch and out of service. But I think when the roles changed and I was able to take care of her, it just really kind of opens your eyes to what's really important. And every day, like now that I'm in quarantine, I kind of wake up and I see God so much more in the everyday things rather than just getting my to-do list done and running around New York. I'm able to really connect with the people that I'm here with, and God is working from the inside out. And I think distractions and all of these things that have been shut down have just, they've given me more hope, to be honest, because I know that God is working from the inside out, and I know that this time is, we're going to come out of this, and it's going to be a new normal. It's not going to be, we're not going back to normal. We're going to this new normal, and I really truly believe that God is strengthening hearts and doing things from the inside out.
Yeah. I so believe that. But and that's where we want to turn and shift our focus to, and so. Ladies, we're going to take a 30-second break. And listeners, when we get back, I want you to know, if you have a question, if you'd like to speak to one of these incredible young women, you can call 347-324-5246 to impress one. I'll bring you in to make a comment or to ask your question. Again, that's 347-324-5246. Press one. Hard to believe half of our show is already over. But I think that you've gotten a really good feel about where these girls are, where they're, I say girls, I call women my age girls. The older you get, the greater compliment it is. I'm just telling you. But you get to speak to these beautiful young women about
your beautiful
Kim. you can see that they have a lot of incredible things to say. But you've seen the hard part now. You've seen, you know, their struggle. You've seen the fear that they had to face. And, you know, I just so appreciate anyone who will be vulnerable and say, no, it wasn't easy. I had really hard days. I had days where I cried. I had days, you know, because that's really where we connect with hurt. When we can connect with hurt, hurt within ourselves and hurt with others, then we start to climb up. Then the healing begins. Then hope is ready to be absorbed. So I love that. So what we're going to take is we're going to do a 30-second break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how these young ladies saw themselves shifting in their mindset, in relationships, and most importantly, in their faith. So we'll be back in 30 seconds, and we're going to finish up this incredible interview with two incredible young ladies. Be right back.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Coffee, Conversations of Friends of Faith to encourage and to equip. We use one another's stories and where we are in life to encourage one another. And, of course, we use God's word for our equipping manual. So thank you so much for joining us. It's a delight. It truly is a delight to have you. Before we get back to our show, I'd like to invite you to learn more about our ministry. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/rosesandrainbows. And visit our website. We have a brand new newsletter that I think you're going to like. It's called Perk Up. So go on to the website, kimcrable.org. You can sign up for a free daily devotional. And you can get the free newsletter that lets you know more about our ministry and, more importantly, how maybe you might think about joining us. We have lots of things going on across the country, literally across the world, and we need you to make us our best. I want you to know that we are currently scheduling the end of 2021, our Burdens to Blessings tour. If you're not familiar with Burdens to Blessings, that is my first book, my signature book, which is a transformational journey to healing. We all have had pains in our past, but did you know that God has a purpose for every one of those pains? So through the scripture, we take people on this path to truly not only healing, but allowing each of us to become the hope to other people around us. And we know that that is what God wants us to do because he says he comforts us so that we can bring comfort to all those around us. And that's exactly what these two ladies are doing today. So I welcome back Brianna and Allie as we talk about the coronavirus and how it is truly has affected the millennial age and when what they what has happened on the inside. Obviously, as we know about, well, we know a lot about the physical. We know about the symptoms. We know the death toll, unfortunately. We know the number of survivors. You know, we're seeing a change. We're seeing a shift in the physical. But you know what? We have to talk about what's going on the inside. That's really where we find our hope. That's where we see the changes. We see the shifts in mindset. So I can't think of two better people that I would love to have on the show to talk about that. So, girls, welcome back. And thank you again so much for joining me today.
Of course.
So let's talk about, I'm going to ask you a question. What was your lowest point as you were going through this, whether it be for yourself or a family member, what would you consider your lowest point in facing your virus?
Brianna, you can go.
Go ahead.
All right. This is Allie. So I would probably say that my lowest point was when the second wave of the virus hit for me. Like I said, I had a week period of no symptoms. Like I still always had a slight chest tightness, but the second
So rather than the physical, tell me about your lowest point emotionally.
So that when that second wave came, I couldn't get out of bed for days. I kind of felt like my shift in thinking was kind of, you know, life is really fragile and definitely not take things for granted and, you know, engulf yourself in the fear of the virus. And how I really did that was, you know, I definitely lost being in New York City. I definitely lost some, not lost faith, but I never made time to really pray. I was always go, go, go. But I would say the lowest point that kind of got me up was my mom actually sent me a prayer bracelet. And my brother told me to download the Holy Bible app. So during my lowest point, I mean, I was depressed. I, you know, took a pause in my dream job. But yeah.
Yeah, and that's good. Before we go into what you did to make it better, I want to really connect with our listeners. And I hear you say, you know, there was depression, there was a loss. You felt fragile. I mean, and the reason that we're talking about this is because it's important for people who are listening to go, yeah, that's how I felt. And then we can come back with, but here's where we can go with that. So I know it's a hard place to talk about, but that's why I love you too. You're so open about this. So Bree, what about you? What would you say were some of your lowest that you felt? Take us there.
I definitely had a moment of seeing my mom and how sick she was. I think there's definitely that split second of, am I going to lose my mom? And I think that sunk in with me, but also I just relied so much not on my own understanding, and I relied on, I'm not in control of this, and I'm not, this is this is something I can't control. I know she's going to get better. I know she's going to heal from this. But I think the fear and sadness definitely sunk in with me and hit a low point. But I also, mm-hmm. I think outside of the sickness, I think being home for the first time in a long time and being home for this amount of time is definitely, we've had high tensions. There's been disagreements and fights. And I think those are like the low points in my opinion. I think being in quarantine, because when you're with your family for this amount of time, you're gonna butt heads. And I think mm-hmm. I've hit low points with my brothers, and I've hit low points with both my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And I think, I would definitely say that tensions are high. Mm-hmm. And I think these fights have definitely opened my eyes a lot, for sure.
Now this is good. And I just want to appreciate, I want you all to know how much I appreciate this, because I know this is really hard to talk about. But see, what happens is when we can open up ourselves from the inside out, then what we're doing is we're allowing other people to connect with us. And then we can take them on this hopeful route that I know that both of you have traveled. But you know what? When you're sitting in the place, and I've been writing down the words, when you're sitting in the places like what you all just talked about, depressed, feeling lost, fragile, wondering if people around you are going to die, if you're going to die, when you feel out of control, when it's fearful, sad, when tensions are high, when you're having disagreements, when you're too close or you're stuck at home, you know, all these things, this is exactly how we reach the world with hope, because we have to get to the point, you know, there's an old saying that says people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And it's really, yeah. for me, it's hard for me to know that people really understand mm-hmm. or can truly care, even though they may want to. But when I know that they've walked in the place that I've walked and they understand it, then, boy, I perk up, right? It's like, okay, they've been through this, and they can show me the way out of this. And so thank you for that. I know it's a hard place to go, but I trusted you all with that. I know you can go there because you've come out of it. And so that's what I want to talk about today, is that I heard the strain in your all's voice just talking about that. And if you are having, mm-hmm. if you're having this type of emotion just talking about it, you know, go back to the emotion that you had when you were right in the middle of it and you didn't know how it was going to come out. So a lot of our people yeah. are dealing with that now. And because of that, ladies, because of that, we see this increase in depression. We see an increase in suicides. We see an increase, you know, alcohol sales are up over 250%. We see where domestic violence calls are being called in. And, you know, Bree, that's because of what you just said. We're too close. The tensions are too high. And, yeah. Allie, you know, the reason you were talking about the depressed, the feeling of loss, that's why people are literally giving up on life. And for us to be really effective, I thank you for going to where you went, to the lowest part. So now to our listeners who are out there and they're going, okay, Allie, Bree, I get you. Thank you. Because you have just, I mean, you are like sitting inside my house seeing my soul. So you've reached them. And you've reached moms and dads who are also feeling this way. This is a multi-generational. This has affected all of us. So now you can start to speak hope into those who are feeling just the way you felt, that are connected. So let's start right there. Let's now look at the coronavirus and your time, where you are looking back to that lowest time. And let's talk about some of the simple steps that you took to get to where you are now, and so that we can give our listeners some ways to start walking forward in this. So what were some steps that you began to take? What are some things you began to implement that helped you out of that lowest part?
Yeah, I definitely feel me writing down my feelings definitely helped. I think as an outlet for me was waking up in the morning and just having a moment with God. Instead of going on social media, instead of watching the news or reading the latest article, I was able to fill my heart with words of God, and that's what really brought me through and gave me hope, because I know that he will never forsake me, and I know he will never forsake us. So I think constantly reminding that he has never given us a heart of fear. He's always given us a heart of hope and love. I implemented that so much more in my daily life, and more than ever before, because I am taken away from the distractions. And I was just able to connect more and listen more to when tensions were high, instead of fighting fire with fire, I was able to take a step back and be like, okay, Jesus, like what do you want me to do in this moment? How can I make this better? How are they hurting? How can I listen to them? Mm-hmm. And I think being in this enclosed space, I was able to just listen more and stop talking as much as I do. You know, I feel like I was just able to, like, Jesus was like, let's take a moment. Let's listen. You may not see their side, but there is something that they're not sharing with you that they're going through right now, and they're projecting that on you, but it's not about you. So I think taking myself out of the equation and telling myself, it's not about me, it's not about anything that I'm going through, let's take a moment, let's listen, there is hope, there's a place to move forward and to grow this relationship while we're in a time of quarantine and isolation.
I love that. I love you. We're finding your strength in silence, just like you just refused to say and went in. And the scripture you talked about how God would never leave us or forsake us. For the listeners, she just quoted basically the scripture of Hebrews 13:5, where God says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." You know, He doesn't have to worry about being affected by this coronavirus, right? He can come right on in and sit with us. That's good. So journaling, getting into your Bible, and I think Allie, you had mentioned something about an app that you incorporated. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I'd love you to share with the app. So kind of to piggyback off of what Brianna said, you know, I didn't make time prior to all this for prayer and stuff. And I would definitely say this whole situation I've been in, you know, being really sick, it's definitely deepened my faith. You know, I found myself praying several times a day for myself and for everyone. And that's something I never really did before, which part of me is ashamed to say that. But this experience, you know, as sad as it is, I'm so happy that's deepened my faith. I was more open to things. Like, my brother and his girlfriend were telling me you have to download the Holy Bible app and just, you know, reading different scriptures and being able to, like, compare it to what's going on and, you know, try and give you more clarity of, you know, my emotions and stuff. And I really do feel that praying every single day and having my prayer bracelet on got me through this. I'm so grateful to where I am now. But again, like, for everyone who's listening or everyone who's going through this, like, I just also want people to know, like, it's okay to have bad days. Like, you're going to have bad days. You're going to have good days. Like, that's okay, because everyone's experiencing the same thing. And I think just taking a moment to write down your thoughts and feelings and, you know, how you're feeling that day and say a little prayer, like, that something so small just made me just keep moving on.
Yeah. See, I think that is so important. That message is that, you know, when you're feeling not okay, it's okay. You know, one of the things that I learned a long, long time ago is, like, when I start having a not okay day, I just say to myself, give it 24 hours and see if you're not okay in 24 hours. You know, and I give myself permission to be okay, but then I limit that. Like, okay, it's fine. Cry, scream, run. I'm a runner. I go out and I run. You know, do whatever it takes. But, you know, give yourself 24 hours, Kim, and see if you don't feel better by then. But what can I do, you know, to make myself feel better as well? And, you know, that's one of the things that you are talking about. So that's a good point. It's okay to be sad during this. It's okay. Yeah. It's what we do in that sadness, right? It's the habit. It's what we choose to do.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, no,
I
definitely.
Agree.
Mm-hmm. And I also think, like, oh, go ahead.
Who was it?
Oh, go ahead, Allie. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. But I think, like, also kind of, you know, we're talking about fear and, you know, being in the unknown, we're kind of immersing yourself in that. Like, some small things that really got me through this as well is to, like, the community that we've created. Like, I don't know, but, like, in New York City, like, every single night at 7 p.m., the whole city will clap for the nurses during the shift change. And something like that just made it so much easier to keep fighting. Be like, okay, this is why we're fighting.
Yeah.
You know, kind of shed a whole new light on the situation and the connection that everyone's made. So something like that, something so small, just like going outside for 10 minutes, just clapping. And that's something I feel like I should do here as well, even though I'm not physically in front of the hospital, but in New York City, I lived right next to the emergency room. But I mean, I feel like that's something I should continue doing here, regardless if they can hear or not. It just makes me feel like a part of the community, and being together.
Yeah.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Doing what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Bree, what were you going to say?
Exactly.
Good.
No,
I love that, Al.
No,
definitely basically the same thing. I think when we're at these low points, you have to validate your feelings and you have to be okay with not being okay, because we're human and we're going to have these lows and we're going to have these highs. But we have to continuously remind ourselves that God's going to get us through this, and it's okay being at those low points, because at these low points, that's when the change happens. That's when our hearts and minds start to shift. And I feel that so much, being in isolation, because in these low points, even though they have been really painful and they have been scary and tough, I feel my heart and my mind changing and my perspective changing, because when we're low, most of the times we are at a really vulnerable place, and God uses that vulnerability to open us and to help us see things that he's trying to get us to see.
Brianna, I believe that's exactly, and we have 15 minutes, so that's exactly how I want to end this, because I believe that with all my heart. I believe that when we are at our lowest, when we get to the end of ourselves, that's really where God steps in and begins to do an incredible work with us. That's why I always try to take everyone to their lowest point or to their breaking point, because when life gets to where, whether it's illness, depression, addiction, just feeling frustrated or unworthy, any time that we get to a place where we are literally getting to the end of ourselves, that is a good place as a believer, because then we're either going to do one or two things. And the thing we don't want to do is give up. The thing that we do want to do is give in to God. So, okay, God, I'm totally at the end of myself. What would you have me to do? And that's when we start to step into God's power and God's plan for our lives, because none of us want to really just do in life what we can do. We all long to do the more what God has called us to do. And we are learning, I believe, even as a society, that we're really not in control of anything. If something that can't even be seen can shut us down, then, you know, we really, I think it's bringing us back to, oh, my goodness, you know, what is it? What is the more in me? Because I don't want to miss whatever it is that God has put me on this earth to do. So many times we have to go to the end of who we are before we can really look up and see what God wants to do. There's a scripture, Romans 8:28, and it says, and we know, and that's what we have to ask ourselves, do we believe it enough to know that, to say this? But it says, and we know that in all things, not in some things, but in all things, that God works for the good of those who love him. He, you know, he's working good through this. And so, of course, we mourn the loss. Of course, we hate to see our nurses and doctors go in and have to battle this. Of course, we hate what it's doing to the economy. So we can see all those things. And I think we would all agree on the fact that those negatives, boy, we mourn with that and we're sad with that. But in the spiritual, we also have to acknowledge the fact that God says, I am doing a good work through this. And so my question to both of you all in the last 10 minutes is, what is the good? How have you seen, what have you learned from this? How has this shifted you? What
you know, you are our future leaders. You are our future social changers. You are going to be the one to stand in the gap. You all are the passionate ones. You're social minded. You're not going to just settle for what is or what has been. So as future leaders, as current leaders, but most definitely future leaders, what is it that you're not, that has gripped your heart through this, that has worked to your good, that you think is going to make, has made you better in your relationships with others, and most especially in your faith?
Yeah, Ali, no, I think that's great. Yeah, I'll take it. So, and that's, and this is, and this question that you're asked, this is something I'm still learning every single day, because, you know, we're still in this, and, you know, I'm still trying to figure out and wrap my head around, like, you know, what exactly is going on. Like, I, you know, I can't believe I just experienced this, so many losses. And I think this whole thing, and I brought this up before, in the past on one of our coffee things, this has been a time that I have really deepened relationships with people that I haven't spoken to in years who are reaching out to me and making sure I'm okay. You know, friends growing, I've grown up with, who have sent me care packages. Like, they're just so thoughtful. And, like, little things like that just, like, got me through the day and just honestly brought, like, happy tears in my eyes. But I think in terms of, like, me learning and growing, like, you know, knowing that we have certain outlets to speak with people, and that truly helped me get through the day. And, you know, my faith has deepened so much from this. And it's only going to continue to get stronger. And like I said before, like, just community, and just, that's just that everyone's in this together, and, you know, we're the only ones that are going to be able to flatten the curve. And just knowing that everyone's in this together, that's, like, the biggest thing.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much. And I love the way you started that out is so true for all of us. We're always learning, and we're always going to be going through something. And so learning through the process is what we want to do, is to learn through it all and deepen our relationship. So thank you. Bree?
Actually, I wanted to share a verse that was on my mind this morning that just kind of relates to what we were going through. It's Isaiah 43:18. And it reads, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do, for I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. And I feel like this time is a time for people to really believe in hope and love again. I feel like this isolation has opened my eyes to see that relationships can deepen. I feel like being home and not being able to connect with my family as much as I have been in the past, I'm kind of like relearning who they are, and I'm getting to know them in a deeper way, and I'm getting to their heart rather than just the surface level of, hey, how are you? How's your day? You know, like, we're getting to a deeper connection. And I think going past all of the, I think just all of being in isolation and getting away from all the distractions, we're able to like really truly get down to the heart of everything. And I just feel like this time, is a blessing. I think even though there's so much grief and there's so much pain in this time, there's so much hope to be found in this isolation. And I believe so much that God is creating a new thing, and he's creating new within all of us. And I just think he's really opened my eyes to see that, and in a way that I haven't before, and has had me appreciate, really truly appreciate the things that I have been given, that I've been taken for granted for so many years, and just reevaluating, you know, family relationships and being able to connect in a different way. It's really brought hope, and even though it's been tough sometimes, I think being home in this isolation has really been a blessing, really, truly.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, so do
and
I.
Like kind of, and
what
just,
do you,
yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just saying, what is one thing that you,
What is one thing that you hope that you hold on to? What is one thing that you have learned through this that you will refuse to, or you hope that will never change?
I think being able to see God in the everyday things, just being able to get up in the morning to a new day, you know, like I took that for granted every single day. I knew there was going to be a tomorrow, but, you know, I think taking every day for what it is and taking the day and being able to see God in relationships and nature and prayer, I think taking that with me and not taking little things for granted, you know, this time and being with my family and connecting definitely won't take for granted ever again.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree. And I think, like you said, like life is really fragile. And, you know, I also learned to not take things for granted and truly know the important things in life and live every day to the fullest. I know people say that in the past, like, oh, I live every day to the fullest. But, you know, sometimes we have to think, do we really do that? But, yeah, I think this whole thing I learned, like, my deepened relationships. I mean, yesterday, just for Mother's Day, like, my family and I played the spades, like, the card game for hours. That's something that we would never do. And it was just so much fun to be able to connect, you know, with my family on that level. And that's just things that I'll always, you know, hold on to me forever.
Yeah. Wow.
This has just been wonderful. And I just thank you so much for your vulnerability. And let me just ask you, if you had like just a couple of sentences, because we're just down to a couple of minutes, but you know, if you had a final wrap up thought that you would like to speak into the lives of someone who's listening, what would be your one or two sentences of hope to get from someone who was in the depths of that, where you were at your lowest point and you're trying to get them to where you are now and even beyond, what would be your one word of hope to them today?
I would definitely say I think when I was at my lowest, I think looking back on it was really dig into the low and find the good in the bad times, because there's so many blessings around the low points that we don't really see. And I think digging into that pain and digging into that frustration or that tension, I think releases and opened my eyes to see the good and to see what God was teaching me in those moments. So yeah, don't be afraid of not being okay, and know that you're gonna get on the other side of it, for sure.
Yeah, and I also think another important thing is, don't compare yourself and how you're feeling to other people. That's something I've always done, and I would see one person, you know, like I said, like I would try so hard not to be on social media during this time, because one person can be, you know, high levels of energy, working out, showing them working out, being happy. Like, that doesn't mean they're feeling that way, but that also didn't make me feel the best. So just do not compare how you're feeling to other people. And that's really what helped me, in addition to obviously what you said too, Brianna.
Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah. Comparison is the joy stealer.
It is, and it will do it every time. And we don't want to do that. We want to stay on our own path. Well, ladies, thank you all so, so very much. Just having you here has meant so much, and it is just, I know, given so much comfort to other people. I'm looking up a scripture right here. Let me find this. I want to make sure and give this scripture out, because this is exactly what you have done. It's in 2 Corinthians. Hold on. Let me find this. Comfort others. This is not good radio business. Comfort others with the same comfort. But it's too important that I want to get it right. Here we go. So it's in 2 Corinthians, and it's in chapter 1. And this is what I feel like you have done this morning. And to our listeners, I want you to know that wherever you are, that you know, you can comfort people around you. You don't have to be completely healed. None of us are truly completely healed spiritually, physically, or any emotionally. We're all learning. We're all growing. And I hope that that is one thing that you have seen throughout this radio broadcast. But the main reason that I wanted to bring these two incredible women on is because I know that they have really been digging deep through this coronavirus, and their digging has uprooted a lot of strength and a lot of vulnerability and a lot of seeing relationships as they really are supposed to be, and fighting to keep the family alive, and really not being able, saying, I'm going to shut out. You both of them, you heard say, shut out the world. I want to live my own life. I don't want to compare. And, you know, they talked about the depression, the loss, you know, the fears, the sadness. And, I mean, you know, whatever you're feeling today, I hope that you will take comfort from what these young ladies have said. The Bible tells us, the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. I want us to, you know, remember that. God looks upon us with compassion and love. He doesn't shake his head and say, you should be stronger than this. No, he comes and sits with us. He is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can therefore comfort others in their trouble. And that's what I hope that you've received today. I hope that this broadcast has just been a comforting time of others who have walked where you're walking and are continuing to walk in the strength and the power of God. You've heard them say, journal, pray, do whatever you need to do. Just get your eyes back upon him. So, ladies, I want to thank you again so much for joining us today. We're out of time. So, listeners, thank you for joining us. And I hope that you'll join us right back here next week for another conversation with coffee. Bye, everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you, ladies.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
To learn more about Kim's books, teaching materials, or to invite Kim to speak at your event, please visit kimcrable.com. Thank you for joining us today. And remember, to learn more, please visit kimcrable.com.